This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
We're back, everyone. We are safe. We're okay. I know it's been a bit of a spell here, but we have bobbed and weaved the slings and arrows, and we are back. Welcome to your home for everything modern-day wrestling, Place to Be Nation's main event. I am your tri-host, Scott Criscolo. Yes, we missed, well, I won't say 2 weeks because we do every other week. We missed a week, and then we missed the makeup week for two different reasons. Before we do that, though, it is episode 155. And boy, do I know a ton of 55s. And both of these guys will waggle their fingers in my face for one of the best 55s ever, the only eight to beat a one, the first eight to beat a one in the history of the NBA playoffs. First off, the conscience of Place to Be Nation, who's waggling his finger every day to someone, and then he gives the look, Mr. Steve Willie.
I was just going to say, like, I'm waggling my finger at you, but you beat me to it. Bob Weave, though, he's one of my favorite 55s from the ABA.
Did you say Bob Weave?
Yeah, you were talking about Bob Weave. Didn't you say Bob Weave? Bob and Weave? Bob Weave? Yeah, he's a...
No.
He's an old lefty from... he was the Dizzy Dean's, like, second... Like, the second after Dizzy. I don't know, but he's no Kiki Bandaway. And any That's podcast true. Needs a Kiki Bandaway reference on it in order to true. Get the show going.
Is that like that bounty hunter from Mandalore, Mr. Feet? Mr. Bob A. Feet?
Yeah. Oh, we are, yeah. Like, connected today because I just watched Mandalorian before we went on. So I got your Dikembe. I got your Mandalorian. What else will we be together
What else are we, today? You are on tonight. Let's bring in, of course, the other member of our team. He's definitely waggling his finger at me because he's not going to tell me who wore 55 for his high school team. Probably a linebacker. He is, of course, the co-purveyor of the Kings of Sport Patreon, led by himself, Papa Marcus, and PR director Baby Simba, the Godfather, Nate Milton.
What's going on, brothers? It is good to be back. You know, we had to take a little time to make sure everybody was doing all right in these uncertain times, Steve. And you know, one of the things I like about the main event is we are open for everybody. You know, mm-hmm. Doesn't matter your background. So, I mean, you know, for my Christian brothers and sisters, you know, praise Jesus, we're back. You know, for the Buddhists out there, you know, thank Buddha that we're here. And then, of course, you know, we have to thank Allah. Ala Abdul Nabi, that we are back for the main event, ladies and gentlemen.
La. Yes. Ala Abdul Nabi. Of course, the finger wagging I'm talking about, Steve, of course, the great Dikembe Mutombo.
I thought you were going to say all of the religions, like, you know, Junior say all.
Oh, God. I'm a dad. Pent up for 4 weeks?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
we don't need any more of these oral Hershiser puns.
No. And maybe for our
he's ready.
Burn a little paper for Hideki Masui.
Oh yeah.
Yes. So plenty of 55s. Of course, I was talking about Finger Wag himself, the 1994 Denver Nuggets. Led by Dikembe Mutombo, beat the top-seeded Seattle Supersonics in the 1994 NBA playoffs. First eight to beat a one. And then I think it's happened like twice since. I think the Knicks did it in 99 en route to the NBA Finals. And somebody else did it. Golden State? Either they did it to somebody or somebody did it to them. I don't remember. But anyway. So just to give you a little background, we do like to break the fourth wall here because you all care so dearly. 2 weeks ago, of course, was supposed to be episode 155, but Steve, bless his heart, was a little under the weather and not up to the task. No, he did not have the.
I think Steve, you said it was a stomach flu, right? Like you ate a bad Chris hamburger.
Oh yes, very much so.
Like cheeseburger. but we're glad you're better. And then last week we were going to make the episode up, but I, what is it? what are they calling it? Isaiah Thomas? Isaiah Ryder? I don't know. Anyway, that blew through the Northeast, and I didn't have power for 4 days. So we couldn't do last week either. But we are back, and we're happy you're sticking with us and sticking here to the PTB Wrestling Network, where we have a ton of great shows, which we're going to talk about now. We're actually going to switch things up a little bit tonight. Of course, as we have been promoting for a month, it is mailbag week. We haven't done a good mailbag in a while, so we're going to do that tonight. We're just going to answer your questions. We got a decent amount, and I'm sure some of these will lead to long discussion, so it'll be a lot of fun. We have decided, because we want to keep in line, we will do a bonus episode next week. We'll call it 156 because technically we missed. So next week we will do 156, and we will, of course, preview next weekend's TakeOver 30/SummerSlam preview, which I was supposed to be at because SummerSlam was originally supposed to be in Boston, something else that this pandemic stole from me. Jerkheads. And then we'll be back the following week with 150. So 3 straight weeks of the main event. Isn't that fantastic? More Steve Willey, everyone is happy. More Nate and I, people may get scared. More Steve Willey, smiles.
Except my kids.
Godfather and the Podfather, people get a little nervous. But when you have the conscience, everyone's happy. Did you watch every DVD in your house in that stretch, Steve?
There was a 2-day period, especially the first day, where my wife threw me in the spare bedroom, and even dinner did like the whole NBA bubble thing where they like put your dinner in front of the door. So I did
confinement.
Yeah. I did go through some old wrestling DVDs and saw a pretty good movie that was on Amazon Prime. God, now I'm not going to be able to think of it. I'll tell you guys later on.
I watched a great
cool sci-fi flick.
Great. I watched a great horror movie that was on Shudder, for anybody who has Shudder. It's a short one. It's only 56 minutes. It's called Host. And it's about this group of girls who have a Zoom meeting. So it's actually the first horror movie directly used by using the pandemic. And it was these 6 girls, the friends, that do a seance via Zoom. Let's just say it's got a very Paranormal Activity-ish feel. So we'll leave it at that. But it's actually pretty good. It's not long. I think it's like 56 or 57 minutes. And it's on Shudder, so check it out if you have
Shudder. I interviewed someone for a job last week, and it was about 56 minutes, and it was also a horror film.
Sucked through a door, Steve.
The Vast of Night, that's what I watched.
Yeah, I've seen that on the screen. Is it good?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's like kind of an homage to 50s alien movies. Like, this isn't a spoiler. Like, there's something, you know, weird going on, and it's probably, you know, some sort of alien transmission. Really well filmed. Another, it's like a 90-minute one, which is right up. That's like solid movie time for me if I'm just, you know, laying down before bed and just want to watch something easy. You know, I'll like see like a 2.5-hour. I'm like, no, that's too much, man. I'm too old for that. 90 minutes, right in the sweet spot. You got to stretch for like the Marvel movies and stuff. You know, you got to prepare yourself for something like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. That sounds great, though. I keep seeing the ad on my Fire TV homepage.
Yeah, really good.
No, I'll definitely look into that. But if you're a horror fan, yes, check out Host. Again, it's a quickie for movie length. And it scared the shit out of me. So enjoy it. All right. Well, let's talk about all the great things going on all around our feeds. Brother Nate, how is life over on the Kings of Sport Patreon? I hope you, of course, and Papa Marcus, Baby Simba, all are well.
Yes, everyone is well, brother. And for the audience out there, they can check out what we have going on over at the Kings of Sport Patreon, where you can find episodes of TDT Talks. You got the newest episode of the NWA podcast, which is up right now. Steve Willey and I will probably be in the coming weeks talking to a friend of the program who, like, I'm immediately more curious about this person than I have ever been. Hearing her backstory.
Yes. I want her to be my best friend.
And so now I'm like, you make 100% more sense, and completely less sense than you ever did before. So Steve and I are going to sit down and figure out what's going on with our friend. There's going to be a new episode of the Kings of Sport proper pretty soon. Right now, Marcus and I are kind of waiting for the final games of the regular season in the bubble, because we don't want to put out this big show and then 24 hours later, Dame and the Blazers take a 2-0 lead on LeBron and the Lakers. So we don't want to date ourselves. So we'll probably be coming out with a new episode next week, both audio. And then if you get the Patreon, you can check us out on video as well. So we got a lot of stuff coming up, a lot of stuff already on the Patreon feed, and some things in the works, because obviously there was some big political news this week, which means anytime something political happens, we have to send up the angry bat signal for Chris from LA, our political science professor. So we're probably going to sit down and talk about that here in the next week or so. So a lot of stuff, patreon.com/kingsofsport. $5 gets you in the door, but if you want to pay more, we won't stop you, because it's a free country. I don't want to step on anybody's liberty. Steve Willie, I'm not telling people to wear masks. I'm not telling people to pay me less than $5. So, you know, do what you want.
Chris is going to be a pretty good. Like, you might want to tape that as soon as possible, because he is hot-blooded on social media today.
Yes. Like, this, I feel like this is for political pundits, this is like their NBA finals, where we're gearing up for this big clash, and now we know the teams that are going to be in the finals, so it just makes it more concrete for their analysis.
First off, don't you bite your tongue about LeBron being down something to none in anything over the next month, because I may not have college football. My baseball team sucks. Although my hockey team did survive game one today of their playoff series.
College football is literally going to be Alabama playing games against itself, because they're going to be the only ones holding out.
Yeah, it's going to be it's going to be the ACC and the SEC. So for those that didn't want to see Alabama versus Clemson 25, tough shit. isn't capitalism great? I love it. All right. So check out the Kings of Sport Patreon. I am a sponsor, and I am damn proud of it, as is Steve Willie. So check out all the great things there. On the Place to Be PTB Wrestling Network, it's a little quiet this week, again, due to, you know, power issues and that kind of thing. But we do have some great stuff for you. Dropping today on the feed, well, as a recording earlier in the week, I guess, Wednesday, was the newest episode of You Don't Know Billy Jack. Which is Mr. Drew Wardlaw and his lovely wife. They did a special episode where they talked about Sabu versus Terry Funk for the ECW championship. Yes, the barbed wire match where Sabu was picking barbs out of his sack. Ouch. So check that out. Also, newest episode, since you'll be listening to this Friday morning, the newest episode of Highway to the Impact Zone will be up as well. My good friend Logan Crosland and the gang. Continuing on, they're a little ahead of us in the timeline, but they're having a good time, as are we. Check that out. Newest episode of Highway to the Impact Zone. Episode 50 of Row 1, Seat 1. Ben celebrated his 50th episode by welcoming independent wrestler Thomas Shire onto the show to talk, among other things, his training with Dory Funk Jr. This is a Funkadelic live read. On the newest episode of Senior Video, Rory and Ben Locke go through Villains of the Squared Circle. That's a good one. Speaking of Ben, the newest episode of Wrestling's Chicken Salad has Ben, Logan, and Sean Kidd cheer Lex Luger on for the Lex Express at SummerSlam 1993. And they will, of course, meet with this show, brand new this weekend. The Doctor, Dr. G and I, with a brand new episode of the NWA Saturday Special will drop this weekend. And actually, the NWA had some news. They are back in a capacity. We may talk a little bit about that as tonight's show progresses, but we'll definitely talk about it myself and the Doctor on this weekend's episode of the Saturday Special. Then there's, of course, the Police Be Nation Pop Feed, Year in Pop, Laugh in Theater, Great Debate, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Diamond Conversations, which has been a red-hot show over on the Pop Feed. Please check it out. It was a thing on TV, Piece of the Action, Blockbuster Rewind, which I was invited to later on in this year. Of course, we have the other two awesome podcast feeds, Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position, Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Driving, Brother Sister Rewatch, The Journey Through Infinity, new one coming up soon, and more. And, of course, the North-South Connection, my PIC, Mr. Azzaro, Chad Campbell, Aaron George, the home for Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jeff Learns Wrestling, Ruthlessly Aggressive Podcast, and much more. So check it out. Carolina Dreamin', that's Chad's podcast, helping you out with the GWCW pods. Great show. I love it. As is the Fighting Spirit of 06. The 2020 Stretch Project, the greatest WCW match ever. That continues. What are we in the beginning of August, so you're down to 5 months now to get your ballots. I feel like the year's flying, guys. Remember, I used to say like 10 months. That was before all this bullshit started when I said it in February. Now we need it more than ever. So go to the Facebook page and check out nominations, discussions on matches, watch as much as you can, and on New Year's Eve, send your ballot in, and of course we will have another PlaceToBeNation.com composite list, and Nate, Steve, and I will probably do some special ballot reveal shows next year here on the main event for our three ballots, most definitely. Greatest movie, a song from a movie tournament has kicked off, so be sure to vote for your favorites every day. You know what, guys? I haven't looked the last couple of days. Let's see what we've got here. Let's see. Where is the... Oh, here it is. Let us take a look and see what the most recent posts are. Okay, here we go. All right, how about this? Oh. Matchup number one, guys, that I will pass along to you. Power of Love. Huey Lewis in the News from Back to the Future, or Hooked on a Feeling. Blue Suede from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ooh. Okay. You know, I was immediately going to say, well, whatever goes against Power of Love is going to be tough for them to beat, because Power of Love already like a fairly well-known song, plus you combine that with the movie Back to the Future, it's kind of quintessential 80s.
Yeah.
But I mean, wasn't that pretty much the opening scene of Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes. That's what Peter Quill is singing when he's going to find the whichever stone it was.
I'm going to have to stay with my boy Michael J. Fox and do Power Love, even though that's a tough one. That was really hard.
Power
one.
Love is iconic, though.
Yeah.
I feel like Power Love is an iconic movie song, and Hooked on a Feeling is a tremendous ensemble of a tremendous soundtrack.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I feel like while Hooked on a Feeling is easily identifiable with Guardians, there's probably maybe two or three other songs that I would associate with Guardians maybe as much or more. You know, the Cherry Bomb, when they're like going through the ship and getting ready. The end song with the Jackson 5, I Want You Back, yep, where, you know, Baby Groot's dancing. Redbone, Come and Get Your Love. Yes. So there's like at least three songs that I think are on the level of Hooked on a Feeling, whereas with, like Steve said, like Power of Love, along with like Back in Time, like that's quintessential 80s right there.
Yeah, I agree. I love Redbone, by the way. That's the song that most reminds me of Guardians. So, okay. Yeah. Next. Freebird by Lynyrd Skynyrd from the movie Kingsman Secret Service, or Dolly Parton 9-to-5 from the movie.
That's a no-doubter for me. That's a no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Freebird, I would never associate. If you told me Freebird is in this movie, I would have no idea.
Nah, me neither, actually.
Well, and I, like, obviously it's 9-to-5, A, because it's an iconic song, and B, because it's the name of the damn movie.
Yeah.
But B, like, that Freebird scene in Kingsman is where I started to enjoy the movie way less. Because that's the one where they're in that southern church and your man just goes off and kills all those people. And it's like, I like violence in my movies, but that was a little, like, I don't know. That was the scene where I was kind of like, oh, I'm enjoying this. And it's like, now you're just doing ECW. And it's like, like now it's just violence for violence's sake. You can't try to trick me with, with this damn Freebird music. So yeah, I'm going 9 to 5.
All right. I kind of agree with you on that, even though I love both songs. Everything I do it for you from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, or the theme, the title song from Grease.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Everything I do it for you.
That's a solid cheesy.
I do for you.
It's a solid cheesy song.
It is. But, I mean, Grease.
Grease, yeah, that's another no doubter.
That's like 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would, like, the only argument I can make for Everything I do it for you, even though, like, that's a great song, is that with Grease, maybe it's the second most memorable song from the soundtrack.
Yep.
Or maybe third, if you think about Summer Lovin' and Go Grease Lightning. Mm-hmm. So I'm still gonna go with Grease though, even though I think this is probably closer than if you would have said Everything I do it for you versus Grease Lightning or Summer Lovin'.
Oh, I love Summer Nights. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, all right. Space Jam by the Quad City DJs from
Space Jam. Space. I don't care what it's up against. Space Jam.
The other one is "Go Your Own Way" by Fleetwood Mac from Forrest Gump. I gotta go with Space Jam on that one.
Like I said, Space Jam.
I don't even remember where that was in Forrest Gump, and I've seen that movie a lot.
Yeah, Forrest Gump is kind of like Guardians too, where there's so many iconic songs that you have to kind of start picking and choosing.
Yeah, that's great. It's a 2-disc soundtrack.
Yeah,
like, back in the day, 2-CD soundtrack. That's super rare.
Yes. Oh man, this one shoots me right in the head. "Son of a Preacher Man" by Dusty Springfield from Pulp Fiction. I love that.
It's a great scene.
Versus "How Deep Is Your Love" by the Bee Gees from Saturday Night Fever.
Mm.
As much as I love the Bee fucking Gees, I gotta go with "Son of a." I love that song. I absolutely. That's probably my favorite song. Next to "Miser Lou" by Dick Dale.
Mm.
I think "Son of a Preacher Man" might be my favorite song on the Pulp Fiction soundtrack. "How Deep Is Your Love" is like my third favorite song by the Bee Gees.
Yeah.
So.
Billy Ray was a preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along.
Oh, such a damn good song. Love that. Yeah,
not even close to me. Like again, I love the Bee Gees, but yeah, it's "Son of a Preacher Man" by a wide margin. Like not only is it a great song from a great movie, but it's like I've used that song so many times. You know, in my younger days, when I was, you know, back in them days, Steve, what are you talking about? Them days of them double CDs. I'm talking about, you know, them days when MySpace was around, you know, talking to a young lady and then you're like, tell me a little bit about yourself. And I'm like, we're just listening to this song, girl.
Oh, why isn't there a handbook for this?
It only really works if your father is an actual minister, though.
Yeah, that is true. Steve, you concur?
Yeah, I concur. Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. All right. Let's see. Oh, this is an interesting one. "Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me."
Okay.
By U2 from Batman Forever.
Great song.
"Lose Yourself."
Oof.
By Eminem from 8 Mile.
Here's the thing, Scotty. I'm probably going to vote for the U2 song, just because I feel like it deserves a little bit of credit, because it's a great song from a Batman that nobody really wants to remember. but it's like Eminem's gonna win. Like that's one of the quintessential songs from 8 Mile.
Yep, I agree. Yeah,
it's a music movie. Like I mean, it's a musical. It really is.
Yeah. It really is.
So I'll pick that one. You know, though, I really do like that U2 song. That's kind of like end of great U2, kind of around there before they started going a little bit downhill.
Oh. Yeah. And yeah. Batman Forever is certainly a better movie than Batman and Robin. So that. But I got to go with Eminem too.
That soundtrack was because I believe that's the same one that Method Man had the Riddler on.
Which one was Kiss from a Rose? Which one was that on?
This one.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so they had Kiss from a Rose, The Riddler, and the U2 song. Like that's a pretty good soundtrack.
Yeah, I don't know where Kiss from a Rose is on this tournament, but this next one is going to make me blow my fucking brains out.
Dang, again?
This might be the worst. Worst in terms of two songs that are just ugh, and I don't even like the result right now. Hakuna Matata versus Pure Imagination from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Mm. Willy Wonka.
No life I know in the world. It's losing 56. I don't know if it lost. If it's losing or it lost, it is losing 56-44 to Hakuna Matata. I love The Lion King, and I love that song.
Yeah.
But it's Willy fucking Wonka. And that walking through the thing before Augustus Gloop's drinking out of the chocolate out of his hand. And there, I mean... Augustus, no! Yeah. I mean, I actually like the I Can't Wait to Be King. I think it's a better song than...
Yeah.
Is the best. I even like that better than the Elton John song, to be honest with you.
The only thing is, I'll pick Hakuna Matata just because if you ask anybody from like 4 to 94, they're going to know that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Willy Wonka does have an age cutoff.
Mm-hmm.
This one is a no-brainer. I Love L.A., Randy Newman from Naked Gun. It's Enrico Palazzo! Or You Could Be Mine, Guns N' Roses from Terminator 2.
That's the one.
GNR, by a mile.
Yeah.
By a mile. And one of the few times in history where a sequel may be better than the first movie. I mean, I love the first Terminator, but T2 is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. All the ones after that, but...
That video was excellent with Arnold as the Terminator, just sent to kill Guns N' Roses.
Yes. So great. So great. I agree. Oh, this is a good one, guys. Lust for Life by Iggy Pop from Trainspotting.
Trainspotting, yep.
Versus, I know what Nate and I are voting for, Little Peebo and Regina.
Oh,
yeah.
Whole New World from Aladdin.
Yep.
Sorry, Ewan, you could run all the way, you can run your heroin tracks all the way to the fucking, I don't know where, but you're losing. And it's losing big right now. So.
Steve,
go ahead.
I was going to say, like, Steve hit the nail on the head because immediately when you said the Lust for Life, I'm thinking Trainspotting. So, like, that's a tough draw for Iggy Pop because that's a solid, solid song. And it probably would have beat a couple of the other songs we've already heard. But I feel like, you know, Steve talked about Hakuna Matata, and I would say A Whole New World is that and then some for Aladdin. Like, that's the song.
This will be the last one, and then we'll move on. But we were talking about Kiss from a Rose.
Baby.
Yeah,
well, we were.
Well, it's going up against I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith from Armageddon.
Ooh.
I Don't Want to Miss a Thing is one of my karaoke jams. Just want to say
that. That was like number one for a really long time, too.
Yes, that was Aerosmith's first number one.
Yeah, a great cheesy song from a great cheesy movie. But it's not winning this one.
Was that the Alicia Silverstone?
Yep, Ben Affleck. No, that was Ben Affleck and Mick Jagger's not Mick Jagger, your man.
Steven Tyler. Is that Liv
Steven
Tyler?
Steven Tyler's daughter, Liv Tyler, yeah. Yes. We got there eventually. Yep, Michael Clark Duncan.
Oh, and a side note, the next one, and I'm very happy that this is winning big, but Live and Let Die is kicking the crap out of If You Leave by Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark from Pretty in Pink. Pretty in Pink is such a Steve Willie movie. But
Live and Let Die is one of the best Bond.
But Live and Let Die is amazing.
Yeah, that's one of the best Bond themes ever.
So, all right. So anyway, go there, check out some of the other matchups for the greatest song from a movie tournament. PlaceBeNation.com, new voices, fresh takes, Trent's SmackDown on Fox report. And this week in WWE, our good man John Crow, who is way overdue to join us on here on this show. Paulie's Perspective, Ben's Unpopular Opinion, Matt's Disney Live Action Journey, etc., etc. And, of course, PlaceBeNation.com/Amazon. Buy whatever you need. but we get a little bit back to help run the site. All right. So enough of all that. I wanted to get that out of the way here in the beginning of the program. It is, yes, it is mailbag week. We haven't done a mailbag in, I don't know how long. In fact, we're going to do a mini mailbag, the doctor and I, this weekend on the NWA Saturday special. Very NWA-centric questions. Our mailbag here is all wrestling. But Dr. G and I have some NWA-specific questions for the show this weekend. So we won't do much NWA here.
We got to get these mailbag shows out of the way before the post office is shut down, Scotty.
Exactly, yes. Before the deprivatization.
Before we have to pay Amazon for our mail, and they'll, you know, Bezos isn't giving us any discounts.
No, absolutely not. Stamps will be $6. Okay. All right. Steve, I will pass along to you first. What do you got? Or do you want me to go first? I can go first.
Yeah, go first. I wasn't ready for that.
Oh, okay. I'll go first. All right. I'm not gonna say who gave us the questions, but all right. Number one, if you could go back in time and be in attendance for any shows in history, pick two that you would go back to. My two are absolutely easy. WrestleMania 3 and Starrcade 85.
Okay.
Same story. WrestleMania 3 and Starrcade 85. Steve?
Okay, I'm going to
Wrestle Kingdom.
That's not a bad... You know, that actually isn't a bad one, because... the Wrestle Kingdom with Kenny and Okada. Just because, like, the total package. Like, I get to be in Japan. I get to, you know, be in the Tokyo Dome. I get to experience an entire other culture. And then another one, just because I like to pick different things. How about Barely Legal, like the first ECW pay-per-view? Because I would just want to stand in the way back of the ECW arena and watch all of those fans just be weird. Like, that just seems like the epic people watching pay-per-view. To, like, see all those guys... disgusting, gross guys, except for those who might be listening. You're awesome. But, like, you know, like Green Lantern fan and the hat guys, like probably the peak of their lives. And just to be a fly on the wall and watch all that, that would be great.
I don't disagree with you on that one. All right, so I have Starrcade 85 and WrestleMania 3. Steve's got Wrestle Kingdom. What was that one? 12?
Yeah, I'm so bad with numbers. I like
12 or 11. What was that one? 2015, I guess. 15 or 16. What's the Kenny? Let me look it up. Actually, I'll look it up on Nate. Nate, what do you got?
All right, I'm gonna switch things up a bit because there's actually only one show that I think I might like to stay the entire length of, and then there's matches where I'd like to be in attendance for.
That's a good idea.
The show that I want to stay the whole time for is the first Nitro from the Mall of America. because that's such a weird environment. Like, not only is it a historic night, but it's just this weird environment to watch pro wrestling in, in the middle of this damn mall. But then the two matches that I would like to, you know, go back and watch, one would be, I guess I'll be sitting next to Scotty because I want to go back and see Savage versus Steamboat from Mania 3. Then the other match would be from last year, and that's Kofi Kingston at WrestleMania. And then I'd watch that match, and then I'd go home because I don't have time for this other 90 minutes of this show you want me to watch.
90 minutes? Yeah, you wish it was 90 minutes. I was there, Nate, and it was epic. You would have enjoyed it. It was epic. It was epic when he got the three count. It was absolutely epic. But I forgot that because I think Triple H and Batista was right after, so no one cares about your piddly little match. Anyway,
I thought you were going to say you were excited for the historic women's three-way.
I was, until it ended poorly because it was raining and we were out of time or something. But or John Cena going thugonomic throwback in the Yankee Babe Ruth jersey. That was kind of cool.
It's like, how do you run out of time on a 6-hour show?
I know. That's like Taker and and Roman from Orlando, which went to the next day. The first, remember, it was like Derek Jeter hit the first World Series November home run. Well, Roman and Taker were the first WrestleMania pinfall on a Monday. would start on an overnight. Incidentally, Nate, Steve, that was Wrestle Kingdom 11. Was Okada and Kenny from January of 17. I think I may want to be live for that match too.
And then I could be all like snotty and be like, "Yeah, I was at Wrestle Kingdom before everyone else tried to go to Wrestle Kingdom." Yeah. That seems like something I would do too.
Yeah, I loved I love Okada and you can't. Okay. I love Gedo. Do you even know who like Gedo is?
That sounds like me.
All right, let's separate it. You know, Nate, you gave me a good idea. Let's think about matches we love to see. I think I would like to be live in Daytona, was it Daytona or Panama Beach? Whenever Hogan turned, Bash the Beach 96. I think I want to be there just so I could throw like a fucking battery, a battery from a 75 Pinto at him. No, yeah, I think I'd like to be there for that. Because there's a crowd that probably like crapped its diapers when that happened. I mean, that's pretty epic. Nate, you don't want to be at Bash 90? With your boy and his first big title win?
That would have been cool. The other one I was thinking of, if I didn't know the outcome, Starrcade 97 would have been cool. Don't know how the match is going to end.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I love your Barely Legal, Steve.
Even though it was a bad business move, I think Goldberg and Hogan on that Nitro from the Georgia Dome would have been amazing.
Yeah, if that was a pay-per-view especially, that was, how many people were at that, like 50,000, 60,000 or something like that? It was basically a WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Probably Brett and Steve from Chicago.
Yeah, I was there.
A blow from a stone face. Oh, no, you weren't.
I was there.
Any of you did. Steve would have one of those Nouveau Riche wrestling shirts, like a painted Austin face. Oh, aren't you special?
My friends and I were there. We like always joke, like, yeah. You know, we were the ones that did the double turn. It was our cheering that made the double turn happen. It wasn't Vince. That wasn't the play.
We did the double turn.
Yeah. Yep. It was all us.
Oh, God. Not the other 19,000. They sucked.
No, they all copied us.
Yeah. They were cheering Ahmed LOD match.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, what else?
Like any of those Flair Steamboats?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Would have been great.
Yep.
I do wish, like, even though Chicago WCW, like the NWA shows, I wish I would have.
Oh, Chinatown Rumble?
Been able to go to some of those as a kid.
Chi-Town Rumble. Yeah. I agree with that. And I know somebody who went, but I would probably want to be at the Garden for when Hogan beat the Sheik. I think I'd have to be there for that. That was a seminal moment in my life as a kid. Oh, duh! Snuka off the cage. I'd have to be like, because that's the match that made me a wrestling fan. So, I'd have to be. I'd have to be like, sit behind Bubba Ray's fat ass and fucking fold like the side of an 83 Fairmont. So,
yeah.
Yeah,
like for TNA, like I think like the Unbreakable with AJ, Joe, and Daniels, like that would have been a great match to watch live.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a good one.
Because that was when TNA was still like people still had faith in TNA before Dixie and Russo ruined it.
Yes, no, I agree with you on that.
Here's a good one. I was thinking, trying to think of like what would be a good ROH one. Like Samoa Joe versus Kobashi. That was it was like one of the only times Kobashi was ever in America. And so it was kind of, that crowd was kind of peak tape trader. Like all these people grew up on tape trading and here's an actual chance to see him live in person. So that could have been cool. And that was a great match to watch. So that might have been a good one to see in person, but I couldn't tell you anything else in that card. I mean, they literally called the show Joe versus Kobashi.
That's funny. All right, let's next question.
This is a good one. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. What was your favorite show that you guys have done since you've been since the show changed to tri-hosts? Well, Nate joined the show sometime in the 80s. Not the decade of the 80s.
Podcast pioneers over here.
We did a podcast on Prodigy. And no.
Well, we started on ham radio.
Steve was just standing outside with a boombox wanting to be let in.
That's right. But I was playing Live and Let Die, though.
And we were playing 9 to 5. Oh, God. Well, I thought our live show before WrestleMania was very cool. And we will be doing another live main event before. We were going to do it in June, and then things got crazy. We will do another live main event before the end of the year.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Yeah, we will definitely do another live main event before the end of the year. Last year's Mania preview was good. We had a big crowd for that. Yep. The shows that we've had Brandon Howard, who I wish we can get back on, but you know, his schedule's a shit show in a good way. He's been awesome. We love Brandon. So we hope to get him back on soon to talk a little more business. We had Kevin on.
I was thinking about the show with us, Kevin, and Jenny was a fun one.
Yes, that was a good one.
I think like a couple of those earlier TNA reviews, like when it was really bonkers, it reminded me like the this was before the three of us were just main event, but like when we did clotheslines and headlines after the first Matt Hardy, like Hardy Compound match.
Yeah.
When we were just, was it Aaron George, I think we had on?
That's the series that ruined Aaron. He never recovered.
God, yeah. But like that, those, not the first couple TNA episodes, but when it really got with crazy with like Puppet the Midget and like, you know, those like, yeah, that's the, I mean, we still make the reference to Paulina from Tough Enough.
Yep.
You know who that is.
You know who that is. And now Russo just makes all of his bullshit just so pastiche now because he does it every week. Mm. It was great when it was only like every 4 weeks.
Yeah, where it was just like, yeah.
Now it's like every week, but we will get back.
Those New Japan shows with Pete were.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, oh, no, Sheriff Pete. Mm-hmm. We'll definitely have Sheriff Pete back on.
Yeah.
I love Sheriff Pete.
Because he brings a level of discourse in New Japan that Scotty and I can't. Like, I feel like sometimes when we talk New Japan, Steve is like the main one. You know, you have a group assignment back in college, and it's like one person does all the work. Like, that's Steve. Like, Scotty did 5 essays. I did 29. Steve Willey did the other 51.
That's how I feel about WWE, though. So we're all good.
Oh, that's funny. I would love to bring back, you know, we did the I think episode 100, Nate was privileged, Steve, for us to bring back our other three Nimrods, JD, who's been on since, and I love JD. Mm. And, of course, Mr. Ben Morse. Ben, I know, is very, very busy as a teacher out at UNLV, so it's tough to get him. And, of course, my favorite, you know, he's like a pet to us, Steve, the boogie of the bayou, the great Andrew Reich. I know he's another one who's really busy, but we'll get Reich back on.
I was talking to Jordan last night, and he I'm outing Jordan here, but I think this was said with love, that, like, Andrew Reich is like the ESPN talking head that everyone loves.
Yes. Like
he's so lovable. He knows is. Everything. He's got, like, a take for literally everything.
He's not Darren Lavelle. And then the last part was, what guest would you love to have on that you haven't had on yet?
I got one more like of the shows that we've enjoyed. Was one, I forget when it was, Scotty, but when we had Andy on and we did the wrestling great debate.
Yes, the Great Debate Wrestling. Yes.
That was fun.
Which is now a separate show, so we can check that out. Well, the three of us will be on.
It was so good, we launched a spinoff.
We did the Laverne and Shirley. Let's hope he doesn't turn it to Joni Loves Chachi. That was great. And, of course, as I mentioned, Great Debate Wrestling is now its own show here on the network. So, the final part of that question was, is there anybody that you haven't had on yet that you'd like to have on? And I've already said to you, Nate, I've already said it to you multiple times. I want Papa Marcus. I want Papa Marcus on this show.
Yes, we might be able to make that happen in 2020 since the world is upside down. Like, Marcus might finally fall into our laps.
Oh, I love that. Even if we get a little baby Simba in the background, maybe he'll sound like baby Simba. But I'd love to have Papa Marcus on. Maybe after LeBron does not fall behind in a series and I win my 17th world championship, then we can have Papa Marcus on. There we go.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, he used to cover the baseball beat. Now he's on the NBA beat. So maybe once the season's over, he'll have some free time.
Yes, I'd love that. I'd love to have Papa Marcus on.
And what a wave. Like, Marcus, everything's coming up Vandenberg, because if given the choice between baseball and NBA, this is the year to choose NBA.
Yep. Very much so. Absolutely. Steve, is there anybody that we've never...
Yeah. I was immediately thinking wrestlers, if that was what it was. I would really like to have Jerry Lynn on. Mm. And I actually, when I saw him and talked to him at Revolution for a hot minute, I thought about it. But I think it would be really cool.
I'd love to have Jerry Lynn on.
Yeah, like to go with our TNA stuff. Like, you know, he's been around forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, ECW, TNA, you know, a little bit of WWF, but, you know, AEW as well now. But I think it would be so fun to, like, check in like you guys used to do in the mothership with Kevin Kelly about what was going on at the time. Like, what the heck was going on with TNA, you know, for a few months.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, to like go through that, because I feel like, you know, he was joking. He's like, man, I had a lot of chair shots. There's a lot I don't remember. But there were such, you know, you had that like first period, you know, like those first 10, 15 episodes where it was basically him, AJ, and Loki and a bunch of just what the hell is going on. And I would really think it'd be interesting because he was there for so long to see the differences of like backstage and, you know, what that was like. I think that would be fun. And he seems like a really nice, like legitimately nice person. Like, no one has anything bad to say about Jerry Lynn.
And then if we put him on and we add him to one of our pay-per-view recaps, he'll go, what the hell are you recapping this garbage for?
Yeah, Jerry Lynn would be fun.
12 minutes?
I think I'll stay with TNA for a little bit then Steve Willie, because like there's a guy that just kind of disappeared who I would love to hear from and talk to, and that's the Professor Mike Tenay. Mm. Like, I think Mike Tenay would have some good stories.
Yeah,
if we get Mike Tenay on, too. If we get Mike Tenay on, we'd have to invite Matt Rotella, because he fucking hates Mike Tenay, and I just like to make Matt's life miserable. Yeah.
Well, the other person I was thinking of was your man Schiavone, but if we invite Tony, then we have to invite Jenny. Like, that's obligatory.
Yeah, that would get gross.
Yeah, we would. Yeah, that could get very weird very quickly.
It got weird.
It'll get weird quick. Anyway, there's a lot of people we love to. Well, we're going to still truck away. The show's gone on nonstop since 2014, and we are going to keep going. So we got plenty of time in the future for great guests and great shows. Good questions. One more. This is not an easy question, but this is one I knew that would be coming. What would be your dream past versus present match?
Ooh, okay.
I've got like 20. But it's got to be – I think what they mean also is one guy's prime versus the other guy's prime, obviously. Yeah. Well, the one that always comes to my mind is AJ and Sean.
Mm.
That one always goes – that one always comes to mind for me.
Yeah.
My other one, Okada and Muda.
Ooh, that's a good one.
We'll go around. I got more, but I want everybody else to. Nate, what do you got? Any?
What do you think? All right, I got three. I got let's go from like the mid card to the main event. So my third match would be a tag team spectacular pitting Prime New Day versus Prime Midnight Express.
Ooh.
You got like the old school, and you got the entertainment. You got Cornette out on the Cornette and Woods on the outside. Because for this one, I'm going Big E and Kofi versus Bobby and Stan. And then you got Cornette and Xavier on the outside. One with the tennis racket, one with the trombone. Like, I think that'd be a fun a fun matchup. So New Day, Midnight Express. My co-main event is going to be that man called Sting, like prime Sting. Like I'm going – actually, I'm going to go like dark hair but still surfer Sting, like right before he goes crow.
So like 95, 96?
Yeah, like 95, okay. 96 Sting versus peak Cena.
Ooh.
I think those two would have some really fun matches, just like given the similarities.
Like 2011 Cena?
Yeah, like that era of John Cena. And then my main event. Like I think this would be great if just for the mic work alone. I'm gonna go Hollywood Rock versus 88, 89 Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Ooh. Interesting.
Is cooking.
You have great promo.
Yeah, those promos would be amazing.
Yes, I like that. Well, if I'm going to, since I always compare the two, I just added, give me current Okada and like 86 Flair.
Because
to me, they're the same guy, which means the match will be, I'll give it as many stars as I want. Bad skin, bad hair. I'll even steal them from you. Good matches.
It depends on where the match is taking place. If it's in Greensboro, it loses a star.
Yeah, exactly. But if it's in the Pritchard say? The Yoko Yoko Mama Dome or whatever. Then it's 30 stars. But if it's in Greensboro, it's only like 2.5. If it's in Georgia, Chad will give it 5.5. So I know that for a fact. What about you, Steve?
This is, I mean, you guys are coming up with these really fast. I have to think a little bit more of these. Okay. So one that never happened that I think this would be like my mid-card one would be like Daniel Bryan against Stephen William Regal. Because that was like such a big influence on
like 90s
Daniel Bryan's Regal? Life. Yeah, like, you know, like basically like what we watched a few weeks ago.
Okay, so 93. Okay, like 93, 94 Regal. Ooh.
Yeah,
that could hurt.
Like heavyweight champion era Daniel Bryan, like the first run.
Like 2011, 12, right.
Yeah.
You're going to hear some snap, crackle, and pop in that match.
Yeah, like all sorts of ground stuff. And then leading to like vicious strikes and
elbows to the chest, to like the pec muscle. Oh, get hit in the funny bone. Oh, yeah.
Then how about a tag team? How about the Road Warriors and they're like beat the shit out of everyone who comes to the ring prime against the Young Bucks? Warriors would win. And like the Bucks would like kick them a million different times. And Road Warriors, like, can you imagine like Nick Jackson like taking a bump off the decapitation device?
Steve, you just made me moist.
And then I was going to say, I remember like seeing like a toy thing, like when a video came out of like Randy Savage versus CM Punk, but that's not really past versus present. So how about like Intercontinental title era Randy Savage versus you know, like a like John Cena US title challenge era.
Oh, so like 87, so like 86 Savage versus 04 Cena. Ooh.
Yeah, like you know, like
that's fascinating.
You know, Cena was in like, ooh, I don't know if I can beat this guy. Like, you know, he's just kind of cocky, but would take on anyone. And
Yeah.
So those would be my three, I think.
86 Savage, 2012 Punk. Because that match will be just fucking chaos. 86 Savage, 98 Austin.
Ooh.
How about 86 Savage versus anybody?
greatest of all time right there. Yeah.
Wow. I got some other Japanese ones I gotta think of.
I mean, there's one on the table that
hold your sentence, Nate. How about this one? 2012 Daniel Bryan. 84 Fujinami.
Ooh. I like that one. I like that.
Come on, Steve. There's some joint snaps in that one. I'm looking for injuries. I want some pain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
What do you got, Nate?
The, the one I was thinking that was like right there in front of us on the table the whole time, guys, is the like capital T, capital H, capital E, the dream match of our youth, which would have been Prime Nitro Goldberg versus Prime Attitude Era Austin.
Yep.
Yeah.
With all the bells and whistles from each company.
Oof. Holy shit. Football stadium. Outdoors.
Yes.
Multiple screens. Oh my God.
That would be that in the Georgia Dome.
Yep. Put that in the Yoko Dome and Meltzer give it an extra 32 stars. But yeah, there's only one problem. Who would go over? Would this be like a Harley Backlund double DQ?
Yeah. Then DX would run out, the NWO would run out, and then Sting would come from the rafters and clear out the ring.
Exactly. Yep. And then we all go home happy.
Yes.
I got to think of some other tags.
I know I said it, but like the more I think about it now, I really do want somebody to create some fictional New Day Midnight Express matchup.
I know. I'll have to ask Callum if he could put it on, Callum McDougal, if he could do it on his video game and put it on the Place B Nation, the new Place B Nation stage. I want a good tag. Let me think. How about
Vicious and Delicious
versus Fire and Ice? What?
Oh. Yes.
Vicious and Delicious versus Big Vicious and Mark Calloway.
Yes, me Mark, Texas Red. I mean, I could cheat and do Revival versus Tully and Arn, but that's not even really real because everybody's been saying that one. How about
the Brothers of Destruction versus DX, like in a foreign country in like 2019?
Ooh. Oh.
It is a live main event.
Oh my God. Who did that? It's like some other group thing on Skype.
Yeah.
What's Croc and Roll invading? What's going on? Oh God. I'm trying to think of a good tag. I'm trying to find a good team that would be fun with the Miracle Violence connection.
Ooh, I was thinking that too. That's like Dr. our third Jeff time.
And Bam Bam.
Yeah.
Good team from another era. Shit.
Yeah, like just like who's someone current that just like would just be a big hoss fight?
Vader and fucking Stan. Well, they're around the same time, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit. How about Prime Eliminators? How about 90s?
Yeah, that's not like past versus present, though.
No, it's more like early present versus late present, I guess.
Yeah.
Shit. Because
most of like, the one. Big Hoss tag teams were like failures, like your Authors of Pain. And
I got one. The Steiner Brothers before Scotty goes all Big Papa Pump, like when he's still got the long hair and he's still mobile and agile, Steiner Brothers versus the Lucha Brothers.
Okay, there you go.
That's a good first power mix.
Yeah, because Phoenix, like Pentagon, can get in there and brawl a bit, but then Phoenix will just bump for everybody.
So it's like, so Scott Steiner before the Frankensteiners broke people's necks.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
or during.
Yeah, I'm thinking like a little bit after TV title Scotty. Like a little bit after that TV title reign, when he was starting to put on muscle, but he wasn't an immovable object quite yet.
How about, I had a team in my head and I just lost it.
The Nasty Boys versus
the Nasty Boys versus the Authors of Pain. No. How about Fathers versus Sons? How about the Usos versus Prime, not Head Shrinkers, but Prime Samoan SWAT team. Almost said Samoan SWAT team, but nobody wants to see them.
yeah, that'd be fun.
I'm trying to think of some good like tags. Yeah. JBL and Stan Hansen in a I don't give a shit about you or your family match.
In a brawl for all.
Yeah, right.
Here's a weird one that I think would work in a world-class championship wrestling context, and maybe that's the best context for this match, but I'd put, you know, you got me thinking when you're talking about family members, Scotty. Mm-hmm. Kevin and Kerry Von Erich versus Booker T and Stevie Ray.
Ah. Oh, I like that.
I like Freebirds versus Booker T and Stevie Ray. Ooh. Again, although depending on what year it was, I wouldn't want to hear those promos.
So you got Hayes and Gordy versus Booker and Stevie. I think that'd be fun.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. There's so many more.
That's a lot there.
Hey, obviously, if you click this on our Facebook page, comment and give us some of your dream matches you'd like to see, past, first, present.
Yeah, stop being so lazy.
Yeah, exactly. Really, just don't click on it and listen. Interact with us. We'll mention you. We'd love to hear your thoughts on what you would like to see in a past, first, present match.
Oh, here's one, because I don't want this to be a sausage party here, fellas. Charlotte Flair, Sherry Martel.
Like 87 Sherry?
Yes.
Yeah. Hmm. How about Charlotte versus like 94 Alundra?
Ooh.
That's not bad. Because she was very physical.
Yeah.
Medusa in that when she was on 93, 94, 95. I think her and Charlotte could hit each other pretty good.
What was the match we almost got in AEW? Right in the very, very beginning of AEW, before they even had Dynamite. Was it like Aja Kong versus Awesome Kong?
Yeah, versus Awesome Kong, yep.
That would be cool. Like both in their prime.
Yeah. And then Awesome Kong's like, I can make more money doing a TV show than
yeah. Doing a TV show and working backstage. Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Here's the next one. So a while back, this is how he worded it. So a while back, Dr. G and I did the NWA Mount Rushmore. We did a four-part series. Who would we consider the WWE Mount Rushmore? And I'd like you to give me two, a singles and a tag.
Mm.
So two singles and two tags? Or no, each of us?
A Mount Rushmore. A Mount Rushmore,
oh, okay.
Four singles guys, and a Mount Rushmore, four tags.
Hmm. The singles one is terrible because I think the majority of the people that have to go on your singles Mount Rushmore are undesirable people.
I know.
Because for me, I'm gonna go start off with Vince because I feel like you have to have Vince there. Terry gets a spot because you have to have Terry there.
I know it tastes funny, Nate, but he's got a spot.
Then the question, then you have to start splitting hairs because, I think Bruno's probably three. And then it's Savage versus Austin, Rock versus Cena. Who I think that fourth spot is up to a matter of choice, but I feel like I'm going to go Rock. So Rock, Bruno, Hogan, and Vince.
Who's the really shitty person who calls the Department of the Interior, whoever, and lobbies to get put on Mount Rushmore as the fifth?
Vince Russo. Listen, bro. They'll never see it coming, bro.
I'm in charge of the edit. There would be no Austin.
I'm rock hard like the Stones of Mount Rushmore, bro. That's my new tag team, Rock Hard. Vince is a tough one because that's almost a given. Mine would probably be, and I think it's eras. Mm. I'd probably go Bruno, Terry, Stone Cold, Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Stone Cold, Rock. It's almost, the beginning of the show, The Incredible Hulk, where you had half Bill Bixby's face and half Lou Ferrigno's face. You could conceivably put half Austin, half Rock in that third spot.
Yeah. So you're going with like the best representative of each era.
Exactly.
Okay.
I know. I'm sure people are motherfucking me that I didn't put Sean or Brett, but those are the four that to me are the backbone of the history of that company.
Yeah, it's a lot harder than the WCW one, I think.
Yeah. What do you think, Steve?
There's a couple ways that I'm thinking of this. I like Hogan's got to be on there. I think Cena has to be on there. Austin has to be on there. And the way I'm thinking of this is kind of like when we said, you know, what my rationale for Hakuna Matata is that if you ask anyone from like 4 to 94, you ask who's a wrestler, you'd get Cena, you'd get Austin, you'd get Hogan. The fourth is tough. I almost think The Rock now is known more for everything else besides wrestling. So here's my dark horse, and maybe it's just because I've like read so much and watched so much about this person over the last 2 years. If I were like ask who a wrestler is to my grandpa or like a teenager, like Andre the Giant might be one.
Yeah.
Just to think of someone different.
Yeah.
The only reason I don't have Andre is because Andre was great everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like the highlight of his career was WWE towards the end, but he's been everywhere. I mean, he was in Crockett, Mid South, World Class, Florida, Stu.
And I'm thinking of trying to think of something different. It's like, Hogan, Austin, Cena, and then it would be between The Rock and Andre.
Okay.
I don't think enough people know about him, even though he is the beginning of. And you can also argue he's more WWF.
But it's tough because what are your qualifications? Are we talking importance? Are we talking overall? Are we talking in ring? Because if you wanted to make it in ring, Scotty, I think you've got a list that maybe doesn't include any of those guys where you're talking about like Eddie and Sean and Angle and people like that. Brett. Yep. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, I guess the level of qualification varies probably from person to person. Tags. Heart Foundation.
Okay. Yeah.
Demolition. Edge and Christian.
Okay.
New Day.
Okay, I would go New Day, Hardys.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's trying to go. Man, there's really nothing in between the New Day and the Hardys, are there? Like in that time period. New Day, Hardys. I like Demolition. And I'm thinking the Bulldogs, but they weren't around that much. Man, this is actually much harder.
Yeah. Cause the depth isn't quite there with the tags.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture the Usos just aren't big enough.
No.
I'll do Heart Foundation for the other one, even just to see Jim the Anvil's face in Rock.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go. I'll go Heart Foundation. I'll go Demolition. I'll go New Day, and then for my fourth.
Yeah, my opinion, and that's why I think Hardys. And I'm not saying you should pick the Dudleys, Nate, but you could pick any one of those trio from 2000, and I think that would fit the Attitude Era of tag.
Yeah.
Like, I would put one of those teams. I can't believe I'm about to say this, being a DX junkie that I am. I would put those three over the New Age Outlaws.
Interesting.
So, but you got to put New Day. I mean, they're the best tag team in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
Demolition, the first team to ever win the world title three times. Epic moment at WrestleMania 6.
Oh, okay. I'm going off board. I've got Heart Foundation. I've got Demolition. I've got New Day. And I'm going with the Jumping Bomb Angels.
Mega.
Ooh, there you go.
I was trying to think of someone for Jumping Bomb Angels to be in a tag match earlier on, but I just couldn't think of anybody.
because they were like current. Super ahead of their time.
Mm-hmm.
I got one, guys. I'm going off board overall. I'm going to kind of spread this before. I have more questions, but I'm going to spread this one out. This is not a promotional question, but a culture question. Mount Rushmore of Japanese wrestlers.
Oh, Jesus.
Mm. So, Captain New Japan.
Nah, the Bone Soldier. Oh, wait, that was Captain New Japan in all of his formats.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Like the four faces of Captain New Japan.
Oh, God. I wish I remembered the funny guy in Dragon Gate that's been there forever who looks like a bee with a pitchfork.
We got to have Yano on there.
Yano. God.
I mean, got Liger.
God, this is hard.
Yeah, this one's ridiculous. I probably bit off like an Andre length more than I could chew.
And did you say New Japan specifically or Japan in general?
I said Japanese in general, which probably makes it ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I could think of 10 guys immediately that belong on
there. Inoki has to be there.
Inoki has to be on there.
Baba. I think Inoki. Baba.
Misawa for me.
Misawa.
Yeah, Misawa's there.
Liger has to be.
Liger.
Yep. We're already at four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chono.
Muda. Like Chono, yep. Muda. Okada.
Go.
I would say for me, I don't even know if I don't think Okada would make it yet. I would say Liger, Misawa, Inoki, and
Muda.
See, Muda in America, like Baba could be one, Fujinami could be like.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking, like, I know Ricky Do's on Super Famous and, like, got a big start for everyone, but I just don't know much about him. Mm. So I don't feel like that would.
Mm.
Like, probably people more knowledgeable than I that would say that. How about, like, Baba and Inoki and Misawa and Liger?
Yeah, I guess you got to put Liger, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, cruiserweight / light heavyweight ever.
Yep.
Period.
And so many people's gateway into Japanese wrestling.
Yep.
Well, and Fujinami.
Yeah.
Because I remember him from it.
Just okay. Los Ingobernables de Japón. Just all of them.
De Japón! Let me ask you this, Steve. In 10 years, could you add Okada?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So Okada is just... His resume has more. He has more space on the resume to fill.
Yeah.
I think Okada's like, if you're doing a top 100, I think Okada's probably already in that 30 and up ranking.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a matter of getting into that top 10. Because like right now, like just off the top of my head, I'd probably put him maybe around 25. And that's like the fact that he's still got, like you said, Scotty. A pretty long runway ahead of him. Like, I think when it's all said and done, he'll probably be in that top 10. But it's a tough club to get into.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, I might have bit off more than I could chew there, but that might be another conversation for another day.
It's all relative. I mean, so much of the WWE ones are relative too.
I think. Although I have to say, Steve, I think if you are, and I think we're all comfortable in saying this, it's almost like. There's three more faces to put on the Japanese Mount Rushmore because you really have to put Liger on. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah.
He's got to go on there. There's no doubt about it. The other three, I guess, depends on your tastes. Okay, this is a newer question. With all companies in a holding pattern with the Macarona, who do you feel during this pandemic has stood out as a talent in any wrestling organization, and who do you see as a long-term breakout star when crowds return coming out of it? Well, Randy Orton, of course. Oh.
Baba Atunde.
I mean, it kind of comes down to WWE or AEW because as much as, you know, you talk about breakout stars, like as much as I think someone like a Chris Bay in TNA is a star waiting to happen. Like there's only so big a star can get in TNA or ROH or MLW.
Yeah. Willie Mack. I'd have to go to like my MVPs. Like, I would think that Asuka has been incredible.
Yes,
during this. She's able to not. I mean, she's always been able to go in the ring, but just some of the other fun stuff that she's done, like some of the talking she's done in the ring. Mm-hmm. She's been in, like, you know, Bayley and Sasha is like, you know, the big push, but Asuka's been involved in every single women's program. Yeah. You know, even like the big ceremony when Becky, you know, went away with her pregnancy. So that would be one. Scott, you're gonna hate me, but Orange Cassidy has been huge in AEW. Like, his stuff would get over even more with the fans, but I mean, they basically pushed him to the main event for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Idiots.
That guy's like sold, like, it's crazy. Like, this is a guy who was like a nobody in Chikara for a long time, and he's like selling more merch than pretty much anyone. Anywhere.
He still is a fucking nobody. Okay, you want me to call you? I'll challenge you, Steve.
Yeah.
Darby Allin.
Mm.
Darby Allin is super cool. I think, yeah, he was another guy who was getting so over with fans. But, yeah, he is. How about QT Marshall? No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, I think Darby's a good answer. I feel like Eddie Kingston, even though Eddie Kingston's been around for a while, I feel like just his ability to talk is something that'll connect.
Gave me chills when he came out.
Yep. Yeah, that was an excellent promo, and I think it would connect in front of a live audience. But I'm going to say it. This man that we have maligned for at least a year, I feel like Hangman Page is somebody who's ready for a breakout.
I agree. I like
he might be ready to go on Ellen.
Yeah. I think he's got kind of fucked.
And, yeah, it almost feels like, the last – almost since the the spring stampede, like the stadium stampede.
Yeah.
Like, there's been less focus on him. And I think that's, I mean, he was like a huge star at that point. Yeah, that's a really good one. There really has, and I'm not trying to like crap on WWE at all, but I can't really think of many people who are like, hey, this is the guy. This is like the guy during this. Mm. This is the guy you want to go out of your way and see.
Well,
can't think of one.
Well, I was gonna say the thing with WWE, Scotty. To me, it feels like Asuka, Sasha, Bayley, like MVP and Bobby Lashley. I feel like you've had some really strong performances during this time, but I don't know how much of that would actually be sustainable if things were normal. Like, would these acts be given the amount of time they've been given on a regular edition of Raw in an actual stadium with actual fans?
I think Drew McIntyre would be thriving now. I mean, that poor bastard got screwed at WrestleMania by getting a big win in front of, you know, three people.
Yep.
I think he'd be huge over right now. I really do. I really do. And honestly, when Orton really wants to dig into the heel bag of tricks,
Keith Lee's another amazing one. If you talk about a guy that benefited from having a crowd.
Yep, I agree. I agree. Well, I have a couple of NXT questions, so that'll fit in with that. Willie Mack? I don't know.
I like Willie Mack a lot, but again, like, I feel like TNA is like the fish can only get so big inside the fishbowl.
True. That's true. Yes, that is true. Okay.
Because like, I think there's some good people in the NWA. Like, I feel like your man Aldis is very underrated.
I love Nick.
Bruce Pritchard. I think that Aldis is somebody who should be in front of more eyes. But unfortunately, you know, given not only the pandemic but also the other circumstances, like, who knows when they'll be back up and running again?
Yeah, I know. Well, there is news. There is NWA news that happened this week, and if you want to hear about it and our analysis, check out Dr. G and myself on this week's episode of the NWA Saturday Special. But the NWA, Billy worked something out, which I think is minorly temporary, but I still think it works out.
And Ring of Honor broke this week, too, that they're going to resume taping shortly.
Yeah, if anybody needs to get off the horse and get their ass together, it's Ring of Honor, that's for sure.
I haven't watched any, you know, since my big statement a few months back, because when they stopped, they were supposed to have a past versus present show coincidentally, you know, with that last question, and a return of the peer title, like a tournament. I might check that out if that's all TV. I'll check that out because I've heard that they might bring in Freddie Ahai, who I really like. They already got like Gresham is one of my favorite wrestlers in the world, but you just haven't seen him in 9 months, pretty much. Like Tracy, they have a lot of guys that could be good for that, and they've seemed to be talking about bringing other people in, like Seidel and stuff like that. So I might check that out.
That'd be interesting,
especially if I don't have to pay anything for it.
That too.
Learned my lesson.
All right. Well, this question was directed only at me, and you knew this question was coming. This question is for Scott, because Nate and Steve are completely rational. Why do you hate AEW so much? Oh, my God. I don't
think that's true at all.
What?
I don't think you hate AEW.
I thought you could say that's not true at all. We're all totally irrational.
Yeah, I'm completely irrational.
I've said this over and over.
My wife is in the next room. I'll go ask her right now.
I love Sarah. I'm going to say it again. I don't hate AEW. I like Cody. I wish Cody would acknowledge that he wishes he was Triple H instead of throwing barbs at Triple H because he wants to be Triple H, which he kind of is in AEW. And that's okay. I applaud that. But acknowledge it. Don't deny it. I love a lot of the talent in AEW. I like Darby Allin. I like Sammy Guevara. I love MJF. I do wish WWE had a heel as good as MJF. I completely agree. The women's division is garbage. And no one's gonna win an argument with me on that. The women's division is crap in AEW. And I like Shida, but it's crap. The only women in AEW that have any moxie, not Moxley, don't get me started on him, is Shida, Penelope Ford, and Britt Baker.
I was going to say, if you left out Britt Baker, honestly, I feel like Britt Baker has been the biggest surprise of 2020, like the most improved performer. Because if you remember Britt Baker last year, she was barely tolerable. Like, they didn't know what to do with her character. But this character has been amazing. And, like, I think they've built her and Big Swole up pretty well.
I love Big Swole. I do like Big Swole. Nyla Rose is great value. Nia Jax. Nate, you should be insulted. You should be insulted. Great value, Nia Jax. That's what Nyla Rose is. She's got a lot of work to do. The tags are good. Solid. Although they don't follow any tag rules.
What company does at this point?
That is true. That is true. I can't totally bitch about AEW about that, but they do need to tighten up their tag rules. The only guys in AEW that I can't stand are Orange Cassidy, because I think he's overrated garbage. Sorry, Steve. that gimmick is trash. I'm sorry. It's just fucking trash. It's a good mid-card thing, but pushing him to the main event just so Jericho could beat him up is stupid. Waste of time. But that's just me. And I obviously cannot stand John Dean Ambrosley because he's a whiny, crybaby hypocrite who pissed and moaned that I was mistreated in WWE and I wasn't booked right. Meanwhile, the guy won a Money in the Bank. He had like a 400-day reign as U.S. champion. He had the tag belts. He won a Money in the Bank, successfully cashed in the Money in the Bank, won that title versus title merge match at Battleground 16. So he was on top of the world, won a SummerSlam match, and then because he had to lose to a guy that's a better wrestler than him, he cried and pissed and moaned and whined that his career was in the stinker. So what's going to happen, Mox? Are you going to lose to MJF and then cry that AEW misused you and show up on Impact? Then cry that you're going to lose when Tessa Blanchard comes back after her, you know, punishment, beats the shit out of you, and then you cry you got misused, and then you'll go to New Japan? Which, by the way, I think you should just give the U.S. title back because you're not doing anything with it.
That might happen.
What, it did?
No, I said that might happen. Oh, that's highly possible. Yeah. I mean, they already took it away from him once.
So there are individuals in AEW that I don't like, but there's individuals in WWE I don't like. There's individuals in Impact I don't like. So I don't hate the promotion. It's the fucking fans. They're all smug, hypocrites, and they are disingenuous when it comes to trying to discuss wrestling. Okay? Even in the Monday Night War, when we all were watching Nitro and Raw, we all watched it together. We loved it together. We found pros with Raw, cons with Raw, pros with Nitro, cons with Nitro. We watched the pay-per-views. This pay-per-view was awesome. This one was, eh. Austin's awesome. Hogan sucks. You know, Goldberg's awesome. Jeff Jarrett sucks. I mean, you know, we all had things that we liked and didn't like. But you get in these discussions with AEW fans, and it's like, if you don't like, if you like anything but AEW, you're a trash bag who should stop watching wrestling. I'm like, get a grip. You're not in like this little niche nouveau riche group like Steve, like 1989 Steve Willie in his painted t-shirts.
Well, airbrushed.
Airbrushed. All right. You didn't just invent AEW like, oh, let's be AEW wrestling fans. No one else is. I mean, get over yourself. And to not acknowledge when AEW makes a mistake, like no AEW fans are getting upset about what Fozzy did. Like, it's okay for, like, Chris Jericho was immune to doing anything COVID-related because he's an AEW wrestler. I mean, it's just illogical. We were never that as wrestling fans, where we were that stupid just to fiercely defend a wrestling promotion. You're disingenuous and stupid.
I mean, I don't even have to get into it because we got a lot of good questions, so... like even Meltzer, you know, Meltzer is accused of being like this AEW apologist, which he was really not. But he was all over Jericho for doing that, and yeah, as he should be. Like, and yeah. my quick little tidbit about it. Like the only thing I could think of is like, hey, he's giving the rest of his band and like equipment guys a payday, which like that's kind of cool, but. You're putting a lot of people at risk. You're putting your show at risk.
Yep.
You're like, take some, if you want to do it, take some time off and, you know, away from wrestling and do it, you know, like put yourself at risk, but don't put all these other people
or who's got a lot of money? Steve Willie.
Tony Khan.
Tony damn Khan. Like, yeah. if you needed your bandmates to get a paying gig, why not book them to play on Dynamite and just work it into the story?
Yeah, just kind of like Judas live.
Yes.
Like rock.
That would have been great. Like, you know? hearing the Fozzy play Judas live. That actually would have been a cool use of them on this show.
Yeah.
Anyway. And then, like, have a Smash Mouth play, like, the best friends. All-Star. Cheesy.
Anyway, I didn't want to go that far with but somebody asked, so I answered. But
I did. You know, one of the reasons I was laughing during that is because I text my wife and I said, would you say I'm a completely rational human being? And my answer that I got back was no. So thank you to all the listeners who think I am a completely rational human being. And if you could let me know who wrote that later on, I will.
Yes.
Send a thank you.
Beautifully worded question.
Oh, God, that's fantastic. Anyway, all right. So I think that's all I got.
I had a couple that I could read. Hold on one second. Okay, this is from – I'll say who this is from. This is a good question. It's from our buddy Todd Weber. So he's saying he doesn't enjoy watching wrestling right now, and it seems no one else does either. Even promotions like New Japan, which used to provide a compelling viewing experience, now feel completely non-essential. Looking at ratings, it seems I'm not alone. Does wrestling ever come back? Todd from California, hello.
First time, long time. Chris Weber, nobody cares.
I mean, I can't disagree. Like, I... the only current wrestling I watch now is AEW, and I'm behind on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I watched a little bit of stuff. Like, I watched some Impact, like the big shows that they did. I've watched some of New Japan since they started doing like their empty arena shows, but I'm not like all in on it by any means. Like I just finished their big show from like, God, like 3 weeks ago, and I haven't watched any of their last six shows at all. I told you guys before, I watched the New Japan Strong show that they put up last Friday, and I didn't enjoy it in the least, even though there's like guys like Jeff Cobb on it, who I like, mm-hmm. and David Finlay, who I really like. And ACH is on it next week, so I'll probably check that out, because that's my guy right there. I think it comes back, but I think it's going to be similar. Like, it's going to be slow. It's not going to be like, you know, the NBA popped a huge rating right off the bat, and it's kind of maintaining that stuff. I think when fans start allowing to be back slowly, it's going to pop a bit of a rating. Like your first show, WWE Raw, that has fans in the crowd, it's going to be a big jump. Kind of like it was on Fox, like, you know, the first SmackDown. Mm-hmm. That got a huge bump in ratings for a couple weeks, and then it just kind of went back to where it was. I'm worried more for indie wrestling. I think some of the more niche groups are going to be okay. Like, we talk about this in my business, like your... When you have like a big like problem, like a big pandemic, or like, you know, it's like a, you know, a lot of issues, like, you know, your big ones go under and your real small ones go under. And luckily, you know, some of your middle ones are going to be able to float on by. I think WWE is backed up by enough money with their TV contracts and their Saudi, you know, they just had record profits despite not even running any events. I think there's a lot of these promotions, the indie promotions, are going under. You already saw it with Chikara for, I mean, they were in trouble anyways. The Quackenbush thing just kind of put it over the edge. Same with Bar Wrestling. I mean, they lost it because of the speaking out movement, but there's been a few that are shutting down, and the ones that are surviving, like your GCW, they're putting on like these niche, like they're almost like all deathmatch type shows. Like when I'm seeing out, like a lot of outdoor shows in clips, and they're all like, if I never see another light tube used in a wrestling match again, I'm going to be good. Warrior Wrestling, which is this promotion that I went to kind of out of way south side Chicago near Indiana, they're like put on some kind of like super indie shows, and they just did one in a football field because it's at a, like a Catholic high school. And so instead of indoor in the gym, they did it in the football field, limited to like 500 fans, and had them spread out all over the football field and the stadium seats, so you can like sit with your family but no one else. And it looked really cool. Like, those are the people that are going to survive. Ring of Honor is only surviving because Sinclair money.
Yep.
AEW is surviving because of Tony Khan. If they didn't have that TV contract, they'd be done.
Yeah.
If that's what happened last year, they would be done. So I think New Japan, they're backed up by a billionaire. I think there's already been two Japan companies that have gone down. I think Wrestle One and Zero One have gone under. You know, Stardom hooked up with New Japan. That was kind of already happening. And I think that there's, what were the, like, was it Noah and someone else just joined as well? Oh, DDT. Like, DDT pretty much brought out Noah. So we're already seeing it. Like, it's definitely going to go down in terms of amount of companies. We've gone from, like, all these choices that wrestlers had, and a lot of them are going to be taken away. That was a long-winded answer.
But an exceptional one, of course. What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, I tend to agree with Steve. I feel like once things get back to some sense of normal, it might not be for another year, right? It might not be until have an actual vaccine that works. So, you know, at best, you might be talking about, you know, January, February of 2021. Because I still don't think, like, I feel like people are taking this seriously, but I still don't think quite sunk in yet, Scotty, that, like, we're in for the long haul with this thing. You know, I remember back in March or April, the big talk was, you know, we have to be careful because phase two is going to come around in the fall. And it's like, well, damn, phase two. We still haven't figured out phase two. So I do feel like it's going to be a while before things get back to quote-unquote normal. But even then, I feel like you'll get that initial bump, and then it'll be up to take advantage of that bump, right? Like, it'll be up to the to put on the best shows they can and see if they can maintain that audience. I'm really interested to see what goes on with AEW and NXT, because that's really the wrestling I've been watching night of. Everything else, you know, I'll catch on YouTube or the network after the fact. But I feel like, and we saw last week with AEW's numbers, like, there's a chance if we get back to some sense of normal and they put on a really good show and have some really strong booking, they could get back up close to that million. And NXT, you know, could have some of their best numbers. Everybody else other than WWE and AEW, I'm worried about, particularly, you know, Steve was talking about those, some of those smaller indies, but also like the mid-majors, like ROH, like NWA, like MLW, like Impact, who are basically being kept afloat by the financial backing that they have. Like, I think those are the companies that, you know, they're struggling for their audience anyway. And so if people continue to tune out, maybe that audience never comes back, or they go to WWE and AEW. Yeah, I do feel like this is a time that is going to have lasting effects on the business, because not only do you have companies getting, you know, taken out by finances, but you've got the speaking out move. You've got, you know, wrestlers being asked to be treated more fairly in terms of, you know, the way that they're treated by some of these companies. You've got, you know, a lot of workers speaking about some of the experiences that they've had. And so I feel like not only are you talking about a financial reckoning that these companies are going to have to deal with, Scotty, but there's like a culture change that is also happening at the same time. And so we'll find out maybe months from now how this all kind of shakes out.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's hard to tell now. Obviously, WWE and AEW will survive. I think Impact will survive. Obviously, the NWA had to make a business move. And again, we'll talk more about that this weekend with the Doctor and I on the Saturday special. ROH, I mean, they're starting up again, and maybe that's a good thing, but they may need to start dealing with things like a roster, what it looks like right now, and you know, other business decisions involving the talent and the product. Will we have WrestleMania? Is WrestleMania going to be indoors again? You know, is it going to be in the Performance Center again? I mean, they don't even know if the Rams Chargers building will be done.
Yeah.
For NFL, much less for next year's WrestleMania. I got to use my JetBlue credit at some point. I got to see you, Nate.
Well, see, that's like a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, because if not, like, I feel like it's either going to be at the Performance Center, or if Vince is bold enough to go back to a quote unquote real WrestleMania, it's going to go back to Florida. It's going to go back to Tampa. And so, like, what state is Florida going to be in a year from now? Because if anybody's going to be the slow student in class,
yeah,
it's going to be Florida, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's the sad part.
Should build a wall between Florida and the rest of the country at this point.
Build the wall. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, time will tell what's going to happen to wrestling in general. I think that's why classic podcasts have been have become a hot thing now. And we do, of course, I think we're great no matter what we talk about. But I think our current talk is great. Our TNA recaps are great. Our WCW, classic WCW picks are great. When we go back to the beginning of the year, we'll jump back into our New Japan picks. But I think classic wrestling now has become a hot thing because nobody wants to watch the current product of anything. AEW, WWE, or Impact, or anything else. I think people just are happy putting on the network and watching WrestleMania 13 or Starrcade 97.
And we talk about this all the time. Like, there's so much out there. Like, there's probably years and years and years of other promotions that, you know, people have never seen. Like, there's no way you could watch anything. Like, even the people who probably, like, watch the most wrestling out there, you know, like Pete or, you know, Will from Texas. you know, like Charles from PWO, like, you know, guys like that. There's still a ton of wrestling. I mean, and Kelly and I found a ton of stuff that neither of us have ever even heard of.
Right.
So, like, that's what the great thing is about, you know, like something like sports, like with baseball and basketball, you know, it's fun to watch some of that stuff. But, you know, a lot of us have seen all that. Like the Bull stuff, like, you know, Last Dance, a lot of that was nostalgia for all of us.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, there's only a few of those games. But, like, if you like wrestling and you don't like the current stuff, man, there's endless streaming services. And you can go down YouTube and Daily Motion forever. Yep. And find just the weirdest, most fun stuff, or trash. I mean, trash is fun to watch too.
Yeah, no, it's true. So I think time will tell, and that's why we're here. Stay here with us here on the Main Event. We will give you everything going on in current wrestling, whether it's pay-per-view previews, news and notes. We will keep you with the pulse of what is going on around the world in professional wrestling. Anything else, Steve, in your bag?
No, I mean, I think that might be a good place to stop. I have one more, but we can save it for our
El Day Day Rainey. Maybe our next live show will be, we could do a mailbag kind of thing too. All right, guys, that was a ton of fun. I'm glad to be back. It has been, for me personally, a very rough couple months, and podcasting makes me smile, and I haven't been able to do it, and it's been very upsetting. So yeah. I am glad to be back with you guys immensely. And again, I'll be back with the doctor this weekend. JR and I aren't recording for a little bit. We won't see an episode of the Place B podcast till the 25th for scheduling reasons. But the mothership will return. We're glad to be back. I hope you enjoyed this fine episode. The first of three consecutive Fridays that you will get a Main Event. We'll be back next week, kind of the bonus show that we to make up for the one we didn't have. And next week we will preview next weekend's Fun and Games, NXT TakeOver 30, and then of course SummerSlam from somewhere out there beneath the pale. I think that's in the tournament too. And then we'll be back the following week with episode 150. We'll probably number it. So next week is 156. And then the following week after that, 157, and then we'll go back to our every other week schedule. So thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed the mailbag. If your question was answered, great. If it was not, we have it in the hopper, and we'll use it on our next mailbag show. For Brother Nate and Brother Steve, I am Brother Scott. The Main Event still lives, man. And if you go back in time, they're all great. See you next week.
Hey, Steve Willie.
Hey, Nate Milton.
You know, thinking about all this coronavirus stuff just got me thinking. Like, if only we had, like, a national expert that had all these facts and figures. And lo and behold, it turns out Chris Jericho is actually a leading scientist when it comes to studying the coronavirus.
He is.
Yeah, he's actually put out his own book of facts and figures and numbers that shows why he was allowed to play that concert in Sturgis.
Oh. Okay, well, I'm open to it.
Yeah, you can check it out. I think it's on barnesandnoble.com. It's a little book called Fozzy Math.
You are beautiful on the inside. You are innocence personified. And I will track you down and sell you out. Run.